You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for tuning in this morning. There's a new book in bookstores called Looking East. It's the story of William Howard Taft and the 1905 U.S. diplomatic mission to Asia, a beautiful book published by Orange Fraser Press that includes the photographs of Harry Fowler Woods, some amazing historical photographs of China and beyond. Joining me on the phone to talk about Looking East is Margot Taft Stever, who, along with James Taft Stever and Hong Shen, compiled this beautiful book. It was edited by Kevin Grace. Margot, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be here.
I noticed that this was first published in Chinese, and I was wondering how the book came about and why it was first published in China rather than here in the U.S., because this is quite a fascinating insight into the world situation there in 1905 when Taft made this diplomatic trip. Fascinating stuff.
Well, the project was full of surprises for me and for my family because of the way it unfolded. The way it began was our family had visited Bisbee Lake for every summer of my life to the Woods Camp, which is a camp created by Harry Fowler Woods in about 2010, an old hunting and fishing camp in the Adirondack State Park. And my son, James Stever, was a history major at Hampshire College. And around 2003, we were sitting in a living room where we had sat over many decades, I had anyway, and he became transfixed by these five volumes of photographs. We had many photographs there. My great aunt was an artist, and she also took photographs in the 1920s and traveled all over the world. So he was transfixed by these photographs and thought they had tremendous historical significance and encouraged us to do something to show the photographs to a broader public. And so after much debate and got a professional to digitally work with us to digitally copy them and restore them, many of the photographs had begun to deteriorate because of the process of silverizing that eventually makes the photographs totally a gray field.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can nowadays, because of digital photography, not only copy but restore photographs. And we were able to do that with this professional, Ira Wunder, in White Plains, New York. And that was how the project got started.
And some of these pictures are from this diplomatic mission to Asia, which some people might be familiar with the latest Doris Kearns Goodwin book about Taft and Roosevelt, talking about how Taft was Roosevelt's Secretary of War at the time and then went on to the presidency after Roosevelt stepped down. But this was a very important trip. It set the historical scene here with what was happening in 1905 when Taft and this entourage was making that trip looking east.
There were several serious diplomatic purposes for the trip. One was to assist with peace negotiations to end the Russo-Japanese War, which took place in 1904 and 05, in preparation for the Portsmouth Peace Treaty, which President Theodore Roosevelt had convened and would occur in September. They visited first in July, and then Japan in July. They also wanted to demonstrate American accomplishments in the Philippines. Taft had been the first civil governor of the Philippines, and he had developed an affinity for the Filipino people and wanted to show the advancements that had been made. And there was also an insurgency going on. There was a lot of conflict at the time as well. They wanted to shore up the open door policy in China to advance U.S. trade in Manchuria to help end the 1905 Chinese boycott of American goods and generally to enhance U.S. competitive standing in the Far East.
And this was a time when America was coming into its own. A lot of steel was being made. It's pointed out in the book, a lot of steel being manufactured, ships being built. There's implications for naval power and or et cetera. But the really interesting thing about this trip to Asia were these scenes that hadn't been seen before, thanks to the pictures from Harry Fowler Woods and his companions on board that ship. We have sites that you had never been seen before.
Well, that's right. And what was fascinating about this trip is that it did bring together so many different developments. For instance, the handheld camera, or the portable camera, had just come on the scene. And if you look at some of the photographs, you'll see so many people with cameras. And then, of course, Alice Roosevelt was on the trip, and she had become, as Stacy Cordery points out in her book, and we interviewed her for Looking East, her book on Alice, that Alice was famous for being famous, and she was really the first media celebrity in this country. And so the press was dwelling on every move she made, and there were articles every day about this trip in the press, and so many photographs were taken. I'm sure there are many volumes in other people's attics that they haven't even looked at with photographs from this, because there were so many photographers. Also, tremendous technological developments in sea power with the steam engine and the ability to travel that had allowed, you know, many more people to travel at this time than ever before. And the importance of sea power. Theodore Roosevelt was very interested in developing sea power. So all these things came together on this trip.
I'm speaking with Margot Taft-Stever, who, along with Hong Shen and James Taft-Stever, compiled the book Looking East, William Howard Taft and the 1905 U.S. Diplomatic Mission to Asia, the photographs of Harry Fowler Woods. Margot and Hong Shen will be at the Joseph Beth Booksellers in Rookwood Pavilion June 24th. That's Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And Margot will also be doing a poetry reading on June 26th with two other poets at the Mercantile Library. Details about those appearances at our website, wvxu.org. The other fun thing about this diplomatic mission, Margot, that I learned reading Looking East, were all the prominent names that were in this entourage that William Howard Taft took overseas as the Secretary of War. You mentioned Alice Roosevelt, but there's some very familiar names to Cincinnatians. It was quite a contingent of Cincinnati people who went on this trip.
That's right, and probably because William Howard Taft was from Ohio, and he was interested in bringing congressmen as well as businessmen to introduce them to these countries. And it took place during the summer. At that time, Congress had a 3-month vacation, and so they were able to go for these 3 months. And they had 23 congressmen, 7 senators, 13 wives and businessmen and their servants. And many of the people were from Ohio, including Nicholas Longworth, the grandson of the first Nicholas Longworth, who would later marry Alice Roosevelt. But they were, you know, very much courting each other on the trip, and it's a lot of interesting anecdotes about both of them.
You talked about Alice. I was amused by the accounts of Alice cavorting in a swimsuit in Hawaii and causing scandal that there weren't any pictures. No one was allowed to take pictures of. She was quite the attention grabber, wasn't she?
She certainly was, and she was always interested in stirring up a little bit of trouble and did a lot of what could be considered scandalous things during the trip. That, for instance, she had a mohair bathing suit and black silk stockings on when she went swimming, and Taft had to plead with photographers not to take her picture. She jumped into the swimming pool after, I can't remember who it was, maybe Bork Cochran, and the papers did an article about that. She wanted to go to Canton, which was one of the places that Taft actually visited. And then that's another thing that should be noted, which is that Taft didn't go through all of China. He just went to Canton, and he did negotiations to end the 1905 boycott of American goods. And then he went back to the United States. And Alice Roosevelt was one of the first women to lead a delegation, even though she wasn't an official leader. She definitely was the leader of the delegation to China that went to the Forbidden City and met the Dowager Empress. So that was a very much landmark event. But Nicholas Longworth, I mentioned, and then the banker and philanthropist J.G. Schmidlap, who was a personal friend of Taft's and had traveled with him in 1902, and his daughter Charlotte, who the next year actually would die in a in an automobile accident with her father when they traveled in Europe, but also Mignon Crétin, and then, of course, Harry F. Woods, R. Clough Anderson, who was from one of Cincinnati's prominent families, and also Congressman Charles Grosvenor. Those were all Ohioans.
And quite a trip, and there were unprecedented happenings. You mentioned the Empress Dowager of China, the getting an audience with the Empress Dowager of China, but also a visit, was it the first visit of foreigners to the Japanese Imperial Gardens?
Yes, that's right. It was really one of the most tremendous compliments that any group could have received, which was this visit to the Imperial Gardens. And it was something that Grant, President Grant, and no others had been invited to. The Japanese gave the Taft Party a tremendous welcome, both because I think they believed Alice was a princess, and also because they wanted to get the best possible results in the Portsmouth Peace Treaty negotiations. So perhaps for those two reasons, they just had the most amazing welcome that any group had probably ever received in Japan before, and they were allowed to visit the Imperial Gardens, which was the greatest compliment that could have been shown a party of foreigners, and no Westerners had ever been there before. Even few Japanese had been there before.
We're talking about the book Looking East, William Howard Taft, the 1905 U.S. diplomatic mission to Asia, with the photographs of Harry Fowler Woods. It was compiled by Margot Taft Stever, who I'm speaking with, James Taft Stever, and Hong Shen. You can learn more about it at her website, wvxu.org. And Margot, these photographs are amazing, but there are very few pictures of, as you said, rural areas, mainly because the camera was this newfangled thing, and that superstition that surrounded it kept Harry from getting too many pictures of the peasants because they were scared it would steal their souls, right?
Well, that was true in many places, and I'm not sure. I know it was true in some places in China, and I'm not actually sure what other places, at that time held that view. I also think that he may have concentrated on trying to take pictures of the people. And this was really one of the examples of the first documentary photography. But they had an official photographer, Burr McIntosh, and there were many staged photographs. So you can see through looking at the book that a number of the photographs are staged. And Burr McIntosh, who was a very famous photographer at that time, took many really interesting stage photographs. But I think what's very significant about these photographs by Harry Fowler Woods is that they're spontaneous. And that's, of course, one of the important parts of documentary photography.
Beautiful images throughout the book. Do you have any favorites? Because there are some gorgeous landscapes. I mean, pictures of the Great Wall of China in 1905, pagodas, the temples in Peking, just gorgeous photographs in here of, a forgotten time. But as you were compiling this book, did you pick out any favorites, Margot?
Some of my favorite photographs contrasted the indigenous life with the sort of massive technological development of the West. And you can see some of those in the photographs of the Philippines and in China, of the beautiful frail boats and delicate sailing and boats against these massive steamships and warships. And I think that those are some of the most interesting photographs. And some of them just showing, for instance, the Jolo Muslim group in the Philippines with the natives with their umbrellas and spears and giving this amazing welcome to the Taft Party. I think those are beautiful photographs. In China, some of the photographs in Beijing are just really beautiful.
It's a very intriguing book and some amazing photographs. Margot, thank you for spending some time this morning with me, and thanks for the book, too.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Margot Taft Stever, who, along with James Taft Stever and Hong Shen, compiled the book Looking East, William Howard Taft, the 1905 U.S. diplomatic mission to Asia, the photographs of Harry Fowler Woods, edited by Kevin Grace. Margot and Hong Chen will be at Joseph Beth at Brookwood Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and Margot also doing a poetry reading a couple days later at the Mercantile Library. You can learn more about those events and the book Looking East at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.